bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by Wired Tree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hello and welcome to After Things. Things happen after. My name's Andrew Main. I'm joined by Brian Brushwood.
Hello, beautiful people.
Justin Robert Young.
Well, hello, friends.
Mr. Bryce Castillo.
Hey, that's me.
Gentlemen, so I would like to talk about the office of the present and the office of the future. Yeah, this is on my mind because I'm in my new office here organizing things, and there's that, oh, I'm going to put this here because it looks cool, but then I'll figure out, like, well, is that really useful or not? Like, I've got another computer display over here, and I got my computer in front of me, and I got my phone. I need my bag of Skittles, but, you know, one thing at a time. I got a stack of books there. What is your ideal workspace? Where do you think it's going to go in the future?
I've found two things as we move into this new environment. I'm very dialed in. Like, I would love to see a heat map of what space gets used for what amount of time. And I'm very dialed in on the temptation is because we have a lot of space, well, let's put a lot of stuff in the space. But then you think in terms of like, okay, how often am I touching this thing and how much of the time is it taking up this square footage? And especially with the soundstage, we're trying to make sure everything stays modular so that we can move stuff around. In fact, we're going to get a storage containment unit to put outside just so we can, you know, for example, like we have a bunch of wacky costumes for Modern Rogue stuff. That space is being taken up all the time, even if only once every 4 months we grab one of those costumes. So I'm very dialed in square footage use.
Those containers are very cool. Very, very cool. And you hear that, like, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they developed, it's called the Infinity Toilet. And I'm going to relate all this back to it. Basically, it's like a toilet that's able to keep using the same water over and over again.
Damn.
Forever?
I thought that was not supposed to do that.
Well, it, like, cleans it or whatever. But I keep thinking about, like, because, you know, the idea of containers are cool because, you know, you've seen container houses and stuff. But the problem is, like, I'm going to build a container house. You're like, okay, what about plumbing? What about electric? All these other things. But when you can solve those sorts of problems, one, for solving them in people in third world countries and places that don't have these things, all of a sudden, you know, Brian's like, I need to get some extra office space on my land. You know, well, here's a solution. We can just drop this thing in place and boom, you're done.
Yeah, and we're kind of there in that temporary buildings exist, but they have to be maintained, and it does change things a lot when you have to involve any kind of plumbing in there.
Yeah, look at, like, what SpaceX was doing to building their rockets under these spring steel tents, you know, and, you know, that's just, it's amazing how, like, what you can get done in there. Justin, what's your environment?
You know, I get a lot of stuff done in different sort of environments because, I mean, prior to our current situation, I used to, you know, I used to really enjoy going to random places and working, like, because I have this set up here where, can I turn it around? Like, it's a 3-monitor array and my, board is there with a microphone and I can get everything done that I want to hear audio-wise. But when I'm not here, like, I am kind of a dude who gets stir crazy and needs to just break the hell out. So, I don't know. And I don't know whether or not it's a byproduct of having worked in various different kind of non-traditional places for so much of my early career and into my 20s, that I was used to working in airports and warehouses and all sorts of stuff. But I think for when I'm homebound, the big key is just having all my technical stuff already plugged in, especially if I'm, you know, working on audio or something like that. I've now become reliant on needing either my mobile rig, which I already have set up, and I know I have, like, a whole process of getting it ready and then tearing it down, or here in the studio where I just know where everything is. I'm familiar with all of my brushes and paint palettes, so I can go to work. Bryce?
In terms of how I work today, you know, either I'll work when we're doing production stuff here on site, or I'll do my editing stuff at home. I don't need a set office space here or anywhere. I'm pretty fine doing stuff at home I got a desk and a little space set aside for computing. I haven't thought too much about it, because at the last job I had, I shared an office space with somebody. I just need a computer. I just need to be at a computer, you know. I mean, I think that's what I think about at my last job, which was a little more it was kind of governmenty. So it was the most productivity I had is when I could just be at my computer uninterrupted from meetings or, you know, anything else that was happening took away from the singular productivity source I had, which is me being at the computer and getting stuff done.
I have a pretty big divide. Like, my main computer that I do most of my work on, which is the iMac in front of me, I don't have Message installed. I mentioned this, where I don't have Facebook. I have no notifications that come through here other than like software updates. And that's how I'm able to work pretty distraction free, is that there are no distractions coming in. And then I'll have my phone nearby sometimes, and that's like, this is work. And then the phone is fun if I want to goof off or see what people are up to, then I will do that. And I'm one of these people, I have to physically separate stuff. I have to have physical separation between, you know, the different things and ways in which I do stuff. And a while ago, Brian, you talked about how Bonnie got that the word processor.
Yeah, it's like a typewriter. I forgot what it's called. The write something.
Rewrite.
I'm sure we'll find it, but it's the free write. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Sorry, I only heard rewrite, and I was like, I don't think that was it, but yeah, the free write. And she still seems to enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah. Is she still using it?
Yeah, it's certainly out. I don't know that I catch her on it very much, but also it's interesting because it's a very particular type of work that you could do. If you want to reduce all distractions and do a blog post and just type everything out, then that's for you. But if you want to, you know, do administrative stuff or respond to emails, like, that's not what it's for. It's very intentionally supposed to be a minimalist experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was skeptical of that thing just because, like, I think to me, the trade-off, like, I love having my big distraction-free screen. I love seeing something the size of a page and stuff. But I love the idea of a thing that's this, you know, hey, this is just for writing. This is just for sitting down and focusing. And I could see a device that's got, like, you know, a screen that's a vertical screen instead of horizontal and does that. I could see something like that for that, you know. And I like to just... I'm doing this in this environment. I mean, there is something neat, like, on my computer here where I can switch between a word processor and, like, a code editor. But, you know, I've been thinking a lot about VR too, and just, you know, what you can do in, like, VR environments. And none of you guys had the Quest, right? Do you see what the update they added for the Quest, which was hand tracking?
I heard about this, but this would basically allow you to have controls where you previously had never had controls.
Yeah, you just use your hands.
Oh,
so
okay.
I was playing with this the other day, and so basically the hand tracking is great because, like, I tried it, and you just set down your controls, and you see your hands in front of you, and you can reach and pinch, and you can move things around.
Oh, wow.
And it's a very and what's cool about this is it will make virtual keyboards and stuff like that possibly, you know, more of a potential. And I did it, and like I said, I did this on a $400 Quest, and it worked great. You know, was really good at hand tracking.
That's awesome.
You know, it was pretty good at
And so you didn't need anything? It just used all the cameras and stuff that was already on it?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. The Quest has four different wide-angle cameras on there, so they're able to figure out, using the four cameras, to figure out a pretty good – where in space your hands are.
How far out? Do you have to have your hands pretty far out then?
No, you can have them like right below, like even out of your field of view, they're still being seen by the camera. Because remember, tracks, that's how the Quest tracks your controllers.
Oh.
It uses cameras to track the controllers.
Wow.
And so the controllers actually, the field of view goes beyond your field of view. So you can have a controller pretty far back out there. It'll still track it. So,
wow.
But I think things like that, I think about, like we talked about in another show about augmented reality and what Apple's working on that, and the idea of, you know, once you get the resolution quality there, you know, you put on your glasses in front of you and there is no computer in front of you. There might be some physical devices you interact with haptics, like a keyboard and a mouse. But other than that, your screen, everything else is virtual. And then as you need, you know, if I'm having a conversation with you guys, you literally pop up in bubbles and stuff next to my screen. Yeah, when we start virtualizing, right now we put everything we have to do inside of this box. And with augmented reality is you get rid of the box and you put things where you want them to be in your environment. And maybe a lot of things just need to be in that box, but you look at, like, Justin's got three monitors in front of him. You know, Brian's got his setup, and you've got Bryce's got control boards. And you start switching to augmented reality, and the idea is like, oh, well, I don't physically need to have this device over here. I can have a virtual version of the device, but I still spatially want to have those things there.
Hmm. That could be interesting. I don't know. I think about, like, I don't know, the stuff that I'm doing here for the live show and the live stream and all. Like, you know, I have, as you were saying that, I was like, I have a hard time imagining what virtualizing this all looks like, because I need to, you know, I need to go and grab this thing and I need to have the mouse and I need to click on, you know, the different inputs. But if you had a big screen and big touch targets, you could, I mean, you'd lose some of, you know, there's a latency to that, right? There's because you're virtualizing this physical input, but you could do something.
I would say that the easiest analog would be if you've ever played office simulator or job simulator, then what happens is based on the room scale, if your room isn't big enough for you to have both a cabinet and a refrigerator in your virtual kitchen, then what it will do is just create a virtual both of them, and you just flip a switch and now it's a cabinet, now it's a refrigerator or what have you. So I would imagine it would be a lot of that stuff, or reprogrammable buttons, which to some extent you already have even on that board, because you're able to switch to different banks of inputs and then different buses for outputs and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
Pages.
You know, look what we saw with the iPad and other tablets was all of a sudden you could have a mixer and have all these things onto here, and you could make your buttons or your controllers whatever you need them to be. And that was sort of a really neat thing. And AR extends that, where like we could have a thing be however. And I think it'll be curious to see, because some things we go like, oh, it might be cool to play Hearthstone in AR where I can hold the cards. But they're like, nah, I like my phone. It might be like, no, just the phone's the easiest way, because my thumb moves half an inch.
Right. Likewise, we haven't given up voice communications. If anything, we've enjoyed the fact that we now have a spectrum of communications ranging down. Sometimes we don't even want to have a real-time conversation, so we just send text messages to each other. Other times, we want the highest fidelity conversation with each other, so we do like we're doing now with a video Skype calling.
Yep. So it's going to be, I don't know, it's just a very interesting thing as you think about what you can do versus what you end up using and what becomes practical.
One other note on that, I find myself universalizing all of the places that I tend to work. I've got a workspace here at the compound, and I'm setting up another workspace at home, and I went out and bought the exact same desk that I bought for my office here because I want everything to be the same. And I think I'm going to go buy the same dumb monitor for the fourth time, where I'm just waiting to get the warranty reimbursement on the one that broke. But just because it's like, I don't want to, I suspect that in that Einsteinian way where it's like the less I'm having to think about translating how I'm working and what's where or whatever, the more I'm doing on the cloud, the more every workstation feels the same. I suspect the more I could focus on the work I'm doing.
Let me give you an alternative thought, though, is one of the things that, again, preliminary research into Alzheimer's is your brain, the more nimble you are, and the more you force yourself to have to adapt to different things, it seems to be the less likely you are to develop it.
Oh, that's interesting. So the less of a pattern you have to fall into and not really be thinking about, the more agile you tend to remain.
Yeah, and it's a reason to keep learning. There's a reason to keep doing like online education. It's a reason to keep doing that. And so sometimes maybe like having to have your brain shift, you know, twice a day between one thing and another, maybe. And again, it's all preliminary sort of stuff. But the idea is that, you know, you're, that forces your brain into a new state, a continuous state of, you know, repair and develop and developing new, you know, connections and pathways versus just relying on the old ones, well, and letting the side ones just sort of deteriorate.
That is definitely one of the things I miss about being on tour, was that in a 24-hour period, there was a remarkable amount of mini journeys that you would go on, from being in a strange city, finding the airport, returning the car, you know, getting checked in, blah, 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 flights, this, cancellations, maneuvers, getting food, then setting up for a show, doing all that. Like, by the time you went to bed, it felt like you had lived a lifetime and you couldn't believe it was only 18 hours ago that you woke up. Whereas now that we work in a more office-like environment, it's remarkable how, I mean, I got to tell you, it's like I feel like I just blinked and suddenly a week went by since we were last right here doing this same thing in the same environment.
Yeah, I thought about, and I want, you know, and kind of the current situation we're in, where we're going to be for the short term and maybe slightly the long term, less likely to have those serendipitous sort of things if we're in the same environment. And one of the solutions I thought of was, like, you know, if we had a wiener free version of chat roulette, you know, that certainly, you know, would be an advantage of a way to just sort of, you know, randomly talk to people and whatnot and, you know, have that sort of that. But something I did the other day, I go, oh, this is really cool, and maybe I need to think about doing this, is I was talking with my buddy, Jonathan Mendajan. Jonathan's a friend of mine who's in, got his degree in the electrical engineer, neat kid, into film and stuff. I'm talking to him, and John Teasdale calls. And I'm like, oh, these two have never met. Let me put them on the same call. And so now I have a call with three people, and two of my friends who've never met each other. And it was an interesting sort of thing to do. Like, oh, that's kind of a cool thing of, like, let me take people who I know but have never met before and put them in the same call. Let's have a conversation and create that kind of serendipity, that kind of like, oh, this is kind of cool. And the topic goes in a different direction than if I'm in my same pattern over and over again. Just a thought, an experiment, I suggest.
Yeah.
It
makes me think, sorry, I just don't want to hog the conversation, because it makes me think of something that I'm seeing some of my friends do. One of the big networkers who I respect a lot here in Austin, Texas, has had an ongoing coffee get together every Friday morning. And he loves connecting movers and shakers of various varieties, like, oh, you're big in podcasting. Oh, you're a New York Times bestselling author. Oh, you run a logistics company. Oh, you make video games. And he's constantly trying to create those connections. And obviously, when everything's in lockdown, that's hard to do. So he started doing this tea time, where it's a Zoom setup, which I haven't played around with Zoom at all, but I hear it's frustrating. But basically, you can just pop into a hangout any day at 4 o'clock in Austin. So I think that there's a real need to do exactly what you're proposing, to keep those. Was it Matt Ridley who talks about the idea of ideas having sex? You have to mash them up.
New book is all about that.
Yeah, great. So, I mean, obviously that's super, super important. And if it's not going to happen organically as we move our meat to break bread together, then it's got to happen virtually with this kind of setup.
Even
absolutely.
One of the personal servers that I'm in has started to do in Discord, has said that, like, oh, we're going to do like a weekly just video call, just so that we can hang out, because, you know, people can't, are being very heavily discouraged to be face to face right now. It's interesting how we're finding, or how we're taking advantage of already existing technologies to, you know, continue to stay in touch and feel like we're social, to be socializing. That's not right. It is actually socializing, but to replace the physical in person.
You know, the situation we're in now is, you know, very isolating, but I do also think that the more that we have wide scale adoption of this, the more that, you know, this is kind of a future that we can build upon, and we do have more serendipitous moments going forward as people are on this digital real estate.
Yeah. And I just think that's, I'm looking at ways like, how do you encourage novelty and serendipity, you know, in general? And I thought, you know, one thing is, like I said, like, you know, you've got, start a group call with a couple of different people, you know, who've never really met each other. And that can be fun. It can be an interesting sort of thing. And, you know, it doesn't have to have it be any high level thing. It could just be sort of a simple sort of thing. But like moving forward in the future, like, yeah, I love that idea of the, you know, that the local sort of hangout, anybody's sort of going to hop in and sort of talk. And, you know, when it's within your community or whatever, too, you can, there's a little bit of kind of social policing in place, too, to prevent, you know, the wreckers, so to speak. You know, all this is just interesting as we all think about like how we're going to work in the future or how we're going to, you know, be productive, mm-hmm. which, you know, I don't have any hard or pants answers to.
This is only tangentially related to the nature of the show, but I got a new app on my smartwatch the other day that really helped me stay productive in a time when I needed to be productive. It's let me see if I can find the actual name of it, but it's basically a Pomodoro timer that you can configure on your watch. And I'm
what,
sure there are
sorry, a what timer?
So the Pomodoro technique. Do you know? Have you heard of that? So it's the idea of you work in chunks. So you work in a 25-minute chunk, unbroken. And when the timer's done, it rings and you get to take a 5-minute break. And then you do it again, 25 minutes, 5-minute break, 25 minutes, 5-minute break. And then on the fourth break, this is like the traditional, you could configure it however you want. But on the fourth one, you take a longer extended break, like a 20-minute break or something. And that keeps you focused because you have a timer counting down to say, hey, you this is your time that you're working. You only need to be working for 25 minutes. So just go and keep working. And then you get those little breaks where you can stand up, go get a drink, go to the restroom, whatever. And you have the extended breaks where you can go and enjoy, go and actually do something else. And it's like Nick Howe says in the chat, how do you get into a flow like that? But like I especially can't get into a flow if I'm distracted, right? If I'm just sitting at the thing and I'm have all of the stimulus around me. But when I have the countdown thing happening right there and I see it and anytime I see that, I know, okay, I need to be working on this task or I need to find a new task to do. It's more for focusing, not for flow. Cause then I find like, okay, I'm at the end of 25 minutes and then I want to keep going because I'm starting to get into flow. But, I would either accidentally work through my 5-minute break or, you know, I go and take my break and I don't, you know, I don't burn myself out by going 3 hours straight, you know?
I tell you what is fascinating right now is, between one is we've been living in this age where we're sharing a lot of information, like work technique, flow states and stuff, and flow state's a thing that's now kind of a readily understood thing. But, and now we're running this experiment where we have everybody trying to figure out how to do things virtually, everybody having to do things through their computers, you know, who can. You know, and we saw in the chat talk conversations about people teaching. You know, now a lot of people now are being this crash course and how do you educate and how do you communicate through there. Yeah. And that's, man, you know, like I'm very curious to see what 2 years from now is going to look like, where, you know, you have, you know, Justin and I were joking about, you know, traditional broadcasters having to learn how to do Zoom and Skype and stuff and sounding like we sounded like 15 years ago. You know, about talking about mics and stuff, you know, where you're watching people realize, you know, this, you know, we're waiting for, you know, the person who could be the next president of the United States to do a video conference once they can figure out how to set up video conferencing in his house. It's a very interesting sort of times. I guess I'm saying that, like, the thing is that a positive sort of thing I'm looking forward to is like, if we get more educators online, more people like this able to communicate and teach that way, that's going to be in the long run a net benefit. You know, the more we're able to sort of do like this, I think we can be extremely productive. You know, you can spend 25 minutes taking meetings and doing stuff, screw off, and then go do 25 minutes of something else. And if you have the ability to get as much done as you can through the screen, it could be very, very cool, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think that there's a rhythm to an office. There's a rhythm to a group of people that you have to replicate on some level when you're by yourself. And, you know, I don't know if I've ever specifically done the Pomodoro stuff, but I do know, I'm a believer in the underlying philosophy of like, everything you need to get done takes shorter than you think. Mm-hmm. Like the real battle is focus. And anyway, everybody's different, but any way that you can coax yourself in to focusing, you will be shocked how little of a flow you need to get done, like a lot of stuff, you know, that 25 minutes plus a 5 minute break plus another 25 minutes, you could probably get done what you would think would take much longer.
Yeah. And I think what happens is if you begin with a break, knowing that, like, well, the hardest thing is to start. And if you know that you're granting yourself a break in a mere 20 minutes, then you're like, well, you have to start. There's no delaying. Whereas if you know the task is so simple, it won't take very long, then you can postpone it all day long and you've gotten literally nothing done.
Yeah. And then when you know it's only I only need to focus for 25 minutes, I can do that.
Yeah.
But I only have 25 minutes. So I've got to get something done before I hit this stopping point.
Yeah, with writing for me, if I focus on the chapter by chapter level, it makes it a lot easier because I can write a chapter in one sitting, get up and grab a drink or go for a walk if I need to, and sit back down and do another chapter. If I focus too much on the length of the book or the word count, it will drive me nuts. But if I just focus on chapter by chapter, that's the length of which I feel comfortable sitting in one spot and working on one task. Life is easier. And there's some people like, oh, you should never finish at the end of the chapter because you'll never go back. I'm like, I don't have a choice. Like, I have to go back and write the book. So
the app that I was mentioned or that I was talking about for the technique is called Silo Focus. I found it because someone on Reddit in the Apple Watch Reddit was saying, hey, I made my Apple Watch apps free. So that's it. I think it's a little buggy. So if you're actually using it to sort of track your timing, it's not great. For example, right now it says I have worked 17 hours today, which is incorrect.
See, that's your mistake, man. You should have taken credit for that.
Oh, you're no, like, sorry.
That is a testament to just how industrious I am.
19 hours, excuse me. So that 21 hours. So that part's a little buggy, but once you start it and use it, it works. And there are a million other Pomodoro technique apps for like everything.
Is it Pomodoro or Tomodoro? How is it pronounced?
Pomodoro, P-O-M-O.
It's the tomato timers, those famous kitchen tomato timers.
It is. Okay, I was like, man, that's weird that it sounds like the tomatoes.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it.
Makes sense. Right up. Cool. Picks? This app's yours.
I'm going back. I got the kids to watch Battlestar Galactica. That's pretty fun. We're like 5 episodes in. Battlestar Galactica, still good.
Cool. I was thinking about that last night, about starting to watch that again.
So I'm going to say, follow up on a thing that we were watching last week, Medical Police, the continuation of Children's Hospital. Man, it is still a hilarious show filled with slapstick comedy and just really, really, really funny stuff. Man, does the story about a global pandemic and the wacky characters that are trying to stop it hit a little different these days, but it is still worth watching. It's very, very, very funny.
I have a half pick. This is a half pick. I'm only coming half picked today. I did not love the first 3 episodes of this, but I did watch episode 4 and I thought it was. It started to sort of pick itself back up, and that is the FX on Hulu program Devs, from Alex Garland. It's interesting. I'm still trying to figure out what all they're trying to do with it because
this is from a team that made something else that we love, right?
Well, Alex Garland is well known for Ex Machina and Annihilation.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
And so it's him, and then Nick Offerman is one of the main characters in it. The reason I'm confused about it is because the first two episodes that they put out set up 2 storylines, and by the end of that second episode, you know it. You know what the thing is, and you know what happened to the person, and there's not any confusion about it. And it's not like it's like a plot. It doesn't seem like it's a plot for revenge story, and it doesn't seem like it's like a world takeover thing. It was a little weird. And then episode 4, which just came out, has a little more action and is a little more thrilling, but I'm not spoiling anything, Andrew. Oh my gosh. And, in any case.
No idea to spoil me, bro. You have no idea. Like, you understand how my brain works. You have no, and particularly I'm a big Alex Garland fan. I think he's a genius. So, That was for me. I wasn't trying to push you for everybody else. My plot brain just, I go, oh, well, they set this up here. Well, that means it's probably going to be da-da-da-da-da. So,
yeah. Well, what I'm saying is, like, I don't, it's so obvious what they've done. And, like, because I know what else is left to do with the other four episodes. So, Devs, it's on Hulu. I think it's a half pick. It's my half pick.
Chris, I've been hesitant on it because I wasn't sure, but Alex Garland is brilliant. You go look at his IMDb and what he's either written or what he has directed, and he is one of the most interesting, writers what you have out there, I think, he's just, and that was, are we looking at
So I didn't realize he wrote Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And 28
Days
Later.
And 28 Days Later. Wow. Yeah, no, that's an amazing pedigree.
Dread, which was wonderful. Yeah. Garland is solid.
Yeah. But it's interesting to see him take on a TV format like
this.
And
the writers I hear, they'll be like, oh, so-and-so. I'm like, they don't excite me. And nothing they've ever done is, I think, great. And then there are other writers like him. I hear like, no, he is like the real deal. His screenplays, I think, are super tight. So big fan. Yeah. My pick, and this is only if you've listened to Abundance and Bold by Diamandis and Stephen Kotler. And I'm in my follow-up. If you read those and you like those, which I highly recommend Abundance and highly recommend Bold, then I would say you might want to check out The Futures Faster Than You Think, which I think is more of a coda. It doesn't have as much of a premise as those do, other than like, yeah, things are happening really fast. And I would say that I'm probably selling it short because I'm aware of a lot of the companies in there. But if you want to get a really good overview of where things are going from the technology side, it's a kind of an overview of like, here's all these kind of exponential technologies and this is how fast things are accelerating, I recommend it. I think it's a really good overview of what's going on and how quickly things are changing from energy, health, all.
I'm liking it well enough, but man, you're so right. It is more of the same song. It is a very familiar flavor, and maybe it's just the strange times that we're living in right now that I'm making it through the book. Like, yes, very optimistic, very, very optimistic. Things are great.
Well, and a conversation I've had with some friends who are involved in science writing and stuff is that the thing we're realizing right now is the gap between, like, we can sequence a virus in hours. We can sequence things very, very quickly. We can look at a thing and we can see a thing and we can have an idea of how to solve the thing, but the solving the thing, the steps to solve that are still not developed enough, and that's the problem is that we're realizing in health, things like this, like, oh, we can find the gene, the reason why your child has this condition. The problem is there's 20 potential therapies that might work. We don't know which one. And it's going to be 5 to 6 years before we know what really works best, and that's the problem is that some things don't happen fast enough. We know how to do it, and we're very much in the nascent stage of things of like going, well, that was like Peter Thiel's thing is like, we have 140 characters instead of like jetpacks or whatever in this. And we could have a lot of other, nice things, but we chose other short-term dopamine trigger things. So there you go. The future's faster than you think. All sunshine and roses, kids. Sunshine and roses.
I mean, they're certainly right in the premise. The future is faster than I thought.
It's been after.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.